to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
We are in the holiday season. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about gifts. We mentioned it as we took communion together this morning. Have you ever had that person, maybe you've been that person, it's not a bad thing, but had that person, been that person, they're very, very hard to buy for. It's like, what do I get them? You know, we mentioned last week, I mentioned it during communion this morning, that the best gift is to get something that somebody really wants or really needs. But I also reminded the men that if you're going to get something your wife, if you have one, really wants, really needs, make sure it also is something she really wants and would like to get as a gift. In other words, as we said last week, no vacuum sweepers, okay? Appliances, things like that. Unless she's just let you know, this is really, really, really what I want and need. So anyway, you want to get them what they want and they need. But there's some people that are hard to buy for. Sometimes it's because they're hard to please. I'm sure there's nobody here like that. But sometimes it's because they just don't even know what they want. I'm kind of that way. I've been in a bind this year because I've had several family members say, will you make up a wish list, you know, and get it to us. What can we buy you for Christmas? And I literally spent over an hour, over several periods, trying to figure out what would I ask? What would I, because I'm just happy. I don't really want or need anything major right now. And so I tried to come up with, but sometimes it's hard to know. But you know what? There are certain things that we all want and need. And there are things that God provides for us. And so we're talking, and last week we were talking, and this week we're also talking about one of God's gifts. You know, some of the gifts that God gives and makes available to us that we want and we need is joy, hope, love. But we talked last week and we're going to talk again today about peace. Peace is something, whether somebody believes in God or not, most everybody, there may be some exceptions, really desperately want peace. Peace. The series is just 2 weeks, is God's gift of peace. And we think of peace of mind. We think of peace in our hearts. We think of peace in relationships. We'd all love to see peace in the world between nations. And like I said, last week we talked about peace within. And if you missed that, you can listen to it or watch it online as we talk about how can you experience peace inside yourself. And today, I want to wrap this up by talking about peace with others. Peace with others. Our key scripture is found in Luke chapter 2, and it's right in the middle of one of the main portions of the Christmas story. In Luke 2, it talks about how Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem because Joseph needed to pay some taxes and a census and all that kind of stuff. And they got there. There's no room in the inn, and they ended up in a stable, and Jesus is born, and he's laid in a manger. And out in the hills surrounding Bethlehem are these shepherds, people who at that time were considered the kind of the lowest class of society, the job nobody wanted, watching over the sheep, and all of a sudden the angel shows up. These are the people that God decides to be the first one to hear the announcement about the birth of Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. The angel shares that news with them, and all of a sudden a great host of angels, a heavenly choir, so to say, show up, and they begin to give glory and honor to God. And as a part of that story, we see in verses 13 and 14, after the single angel makes his announcement, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. As we mentioned last week, it wasn't like all of a sudden the world was at peace and there's been no discord, no problems, no fighting between individuals or families or nations ever since. No, the world still continues to be filled with sorrow and discord and disruption in relationships and a lack of peace in so many environments. That's one of the reasons why people so desire peace. So why is that if the Prince of Peace, as Jesus is called, showed up on earth? It's because him showing up and what he accomplished in his life, and especially in his death, made it possible for there to be peace for anybody that wants it. Made it possible for there to be peace between any two individuals that are willing to do what needs to be done to see that peace there. And made it possible for there to be peace in the world. Unfortunately, until Jesus comes back the second time as the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, and establishes God's kingdom here on this earth in a very real and a very physical way, there still will not be peace in general in our world because there are too many people that don't want it. Maybe they want it, but they want other things more. Domination, greed, all those things that drive the conflict and the discord. But peace is available. And again, last week we talked about how can we have that peace within. And today we're going to talk about peace with others. And this is very, very important. I want to tell you something. Peace, not just that we experience it personally, but peace between his people. Peace between brothers and sisters in Christ. Peace within the body of Christ is significantly important to God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you follow him, and God is your Father, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And God wants there to be peace, and one of the outgrowths of that is unity. Jesus prayed the night before he was arrested to his Father, and one of the main things he prayed about is that let my people be in unity. For that to really happen at its highest level, there's got to be peace. Those two things go hand in hand. But God, as a father, looks at his children and he wants peace between them. We as parents can understand that, can't we? If you got kids or grandkids, you don't like them to be fighting with each other. You don't like them to be at odds with one another. You want them to get along. And God is the same way as a father. He wants peace in our families. He wants peace in our friendships. He wants peace in our relationships, even if we're not as close as friends within the body of Christ. He wants you to be at peace with the people in your workplace, the people that you rub elbows with at school, the people that you live with in your community. He desires that peace. In fact, it's so important. He says that we should make every effort to pursue it. Romans 14:19, he says, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Pursue it. That word means to diligently go after it with everything you've got. Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for peace with everyone. If you think about getting into a fight, the opposite of peace, I know. But the picture here is do everything you can to win this battle. And the battle isn't to fight, but the battle is to have peace. Give it every effort. 1 Peter 3:11, seek peace and pursue it. It is important, not just because we desire it, but it is important to our Heavenly Father that we go after it. So what is it that we can do to experience peace with others? Like last week, this isn't going to be one of those messages that at the end you're going to want to get up and shout and go, hallelujah. Well, this is going to be a practical message. This is going to be something that I can tell you will have a tremendous impact on your life if you apply it to your relationships, because it'll help you have peace. So what can we do to experience peace with others? I like to compare it to having a car. And you have a car and you want it to be dependable. You want to know that if you're going to get into it, it's going to start. It's going to take you where you want to go. You want it to be smooth running. Obviously, we've got dreams for, you know, we'd like it to be the right color and, you know, all the stuff that, whatever it is we like in cars. But we want it to, but how is it that a car can stay in good working condition? Well, if it breaks down, you need to fix it, right? But you shouldn't just wait for it to break down to fix it. There's this thing that, you know, you may get some real practical advice in this sermon that has nothing to do with Jesus. There's this thing called car maintenance. If you've never heard of it and you've got a car and your car keeps breaking down, you might want to look into it, okay? There are certain things that we need to do with our car to maintain it so it will continue to operate smoothly and you can depend on it and it'll break down less often. I mean, it's still going to break down sometimes, you know? like changing the oil at a regular interval, checking the tire pressure, you know, or checking your blinker fluid. I was waiting. Some of you are like, I've never done that. Anyway, just threw that in there. You know, various things, you know, taking it and having, you know, the maintenance, the things that you want to do. And the same thing is true in our relationships. When things break down, we definitely need to work to get them fixed. And for some of us, we may be in that situation right now. We're talking about peace, and it's not just about maintaining peace and those things that can disrupt the peace, but it's already been disrupted. And things are broken. And I just want to tell you that if you are listening or watching and you're online, you're here, and you can think of some people in your life that there's a disruption in your relationship with them, whether you're talking about within your family, and I'm talking about primarily among Christians because we should be working together, but the things I want to share with you work in our relationships with non-Christians too. But if there's a disruption, it needs to be fixed. And as we're going to see as we go through the sermon, it is very important to your Heavenly Father that you do your part to see that it's fixed. That's not meant to be condemning. That's one of those things that God says you need to get this worked out because it's just the right thing to do. It's what's best for you. It's what's best for the other person. And the end result will be worth the effort because of the peace that you will have. So if that peace is broken down, it definitely needs to be fixed. But we also need to be actively involved in those things that will help us to maintain the peace that we may have. And maybe even improve that peace. And so we're going to look at a number of things this morning that can help us do that. That can help us fix it when it's broken. That can help us maintain it when it's not. That can help us improve our experience of peace with those in our lives. So what can we do? Number one, maintain your peace with God. We talked about this a lot last week. You can never have real, lasting, deep peace inside unless you have a relationship with God. You know, people without a relationship with God can experience calmness. They can experience peace. Usually it doesn't last very long, or if it does last a while, it's not permanent. It may not be deep. I don't know. I'm not trying to bring any kind of judgment or evaluation of somebody else's experience. All I can tell you is that real, lasting, true peace comes only when we're right with God. Paul put it this way in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to peace with God by trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The fact that He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins because we could not pay the price ourselves. And we come to God repentant, saying, God, I am a sinner. My sin separates me from you. My sin is what causes this disruption of peace between me and you. And I ask that you forgive me. Not because I'm so wonderful, not because I deserve it, not because I can somehow try to earn it, because I'm a mess. Because that's why Jesus came. To die on the cross, to pay the price that my sins could be forgiven. And that's why He says here, we have been justified by faith. That faith that we put in Him, that faith that we put in what Jesus did for us, and therefore we can have peace. And so that may be the first and the best and the biggest step you need to make today, is if you have never come to God to profess, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I ask that you forgive me, and I put my trust in Jesus, that's what you need to do, and you can have that inner peace. But as I said about the car and the relationships, when they break down, we got to fix them. And we're born broken down, and we got to get it fixed, and we fix it with God. But we also have to maintain it. You know, we still, even after we have a relationship with God, we can do and say things deliberately, not deliberately, whatever, that mess it all up again. And we got to get it right. We got to maintain it. And so we continue to do that by coming to God over and over when needed to say, God, I blew it. God, I messed it up. And I ask that you forgive me. And thankfully, God says He will. If we come to Him and confess our sins. As I quoted during communion in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the foundational thing to be able to have peace with others is to make sure we have peace with God. The second one is similar. We need to maintain our own inner peace, which we talked about last week. You know, we got to make sure things are good between us and God and keep that peace within ourselves. And John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And this is in the midst of a big conversation he's having with his disciples the last night before he's arrested and crucified. And he's telling them all kinds of things that can be very disturbing. And he even tells them outright, listen, you're going to go through some tough stuff. You're going to be persecuted. Life's going to get difficult. That's the way it is in this world. But I have overcome the world. And as you trust in me and you abide in me, a whole section is on abiding in Jesus, staying in close relationship with him. He says, I'm going to help you through it. And in the midst of it, you can have peace. I give you my peace. It's not like the world has, to whatever degree they have it. And you can have it even in the midst of times when your heart's going to be troubled. Even when you might be tempted to be afraid, you can have my peace. And the whole message last week was all about those things that even as followers of Jesus, if we don't deal with them in our lives, they can disrupt our peace with God and our peace within. So again, if you missed that, or maybe you didn't, and it's like, I'm still struggling with that peace within, you might want to go back and take a look at what God says about that. So you need to maintain your peace with God and maintain your inner peace, and that is so foundational, and these need to happen first, because you know what? If you're not at peace with God and you're not at peace within yourself, chances are you are going to really struggle at being at peace with other people. Because whatever is on the inside will eventually come out. You might hold it in, you might cover it over, you might put on a good face, you might whatever, use some self-discipline, self-control, which are great things, and we still need to exercise those things, but it's going to come out. You know, it's really interesting, when I got up this morning and I was going through all the stuff I do to get ready, you know, for the day, get ready for Sunday, and I got my toothbrush, and I opened up the toothpaste, and I squeezed it. And guess what came out? You're right. Toothpaste. You guys are so smart. When you squeeze something, whatever's on the inside is going to come out. And when you get pressure in life, whatever's inside you is going to come out. And if it's not peace, if it's discord, that kind of stuff is going to manifest itself. Now, I don't drink coffee. But if you're carrying a hot cup of coffee and it's not got one of those nice lids on it that keeps it from sloshing, and somebody bumps you, what's going to spill out? Coffee. You guys are so smart. So intelligent. To me, that illustrates that when you're going through a struggle, you got the pressure. You got the struggle. When you're going through struggle and you're getting jostled by life, jostled by other people, jostled by circumstances, whatever is inside is going to come out. And that's why, as we're talking about being at peace with one another, whatever relationship we're looking at, the foundational, most important thing is to make sure you've got that inner peace that's based on peace with God. Now let's go on from that. What do we do when we talk about our relationship with each other? What do we do when there isn't peace, or when peace is in jeopardy because something's been said or something's been done? And I would say, first of all, you need to admit your own part. Now, we want the other person to admit their part. In fact, sometimes our attitude is like, there is nothing for me to admit because it's all their part. I want to tell you something. When there's discord, when there's problems, it's usually, most of the time, not totally the fault of just one person. Usually there's something on both times. I won't ask you if you've ever known someone who never does anything wrong, or at least they think they do. And please don't point at anybody. But you know what? We always like to believe it's always the other person. And I'm not denying that in many situations it can be major, that one person, because that's just who they are, or what they did, or what they said in that situation. And maybe we only have a little part to play in it, but chances are there's something that's there. We need to at least be willing enough to admit that there might be, and to be honest with ourselves, and honest before God, and even honest with that other person. We need to be willing to admit our own part. So how can I know? Ask God to show you. Ask somebody you love and you trust. Here's the situation, especially if they were in that situation. Be honest with me. Is there something I've said, something I've done that started this, fueled this, was a little bit something to add to this, something that I've got to get worked out because I can't control that other person. I can only control myself. And even if by correcting in my life doesn't fix this with the other person, which hopefully it can help lead to that, I at least don't want to have that same thing going on in my relationship with other people. Ask them. But you know what? Perhaps you've experienced this too, that when you've been sideways with somebody or whatever and you start to work it out, when you become willing to admit, listen, I had a part to play in this and I did this and whatever, and I ask that you forgive me, a lot of times that other person is willing to take that step too. Say, you know what? I was wrong. But can I tell you, this is not the way to do it. Say, hey, listen, we had this problem. I'm willing to admit that I did this, this, and but you're the main problem here. That's not going to work, okay? That's not going to, whether it's true or not, be willing to admit your own part. Don't be that person that thinks you never do anything wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. The next thing is take the initiative. In words, don't just sit back and wait. If this is going to get worked out, they're going to do it. You know, the Bible tells us that God says that if we're following after Him, whatever anybody else does or doesn't do, it's our responsibility to follow Him, to walk with Him. If other people do it right or do it wrong, whatever, I'm not responsible for them, I'm responsible for myself. And in this situation, when there are problems between us and other people, God says, as my child, take the initiative. If you have to, take the first step. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking about issues with relationship. And he says here, so if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, the context here is that you have brought a sacrifice to God. Now, we don't bring animals to sacrifice, but basically what he's saying is if you have come to worship God, if you have come to spend time with God, if you have come to work on building your relationship with God, and whether that's good, bad, and different, you're working things out, but you're ready to deal with your relationship with God and to grow in that, and you realize that you've done something that has led to a problem with your brother or sister, he says, stop. We'll get together later. It's more important to me, God's speaking, that you go get that worked out than we spend time together. That pretty much indicates that's pretty important. Now, he just says, then come back, because we're going to spend some time together. We're going to have a great relationship. But when my kids are not getting along, I want them to work it out before we start spending some time together. But see, that works really good if they've done some, or if I've done something to them. But what about when they do something to me? Then I get to wait for them to come, right? No. God says we should be willing to take the first step then too. In Matthew 18:15, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother or your sister. Now again, it says go and tell him their fault. The way you tell them, the attitude, the words, the phrases has a lot to do with whether this is going to be helpful or even more harmful. And I can't spend a lot of time digging to how's the best way to do that and all that kind of stuff. That's another thing we can do another time. You can pray about all that kind of stuff. But the point I'm making here is that when things are sideways between us and somebody else, God doesn't call us just to ignore them or just to walk away or just to make sure we're on the opposite side of the room. Now, all those things can be temporary measures that can help us in the heat of a moment, but they are not long-term solutions. God never wants us to cut somebody off. We need to do what we can do to keep and maintain the best relationships that we can among each other in the body of Christ. That's hard. Yes, it is. Or it can be. Yes, it can be. Say, well, what if they don't want to do anything? We'll get to that before we get to the end. The next thing. Refuse to escalate. What does that mean? Make sure you're not doing anything to make things worse. Don't do anything to make things worse. But that is our natural response, isn't it? When somebody does something or says something that hurts us, we naturally want to hurt them back. And to be honest with you, if we really pay attention to our flesh, without discipline, without self-control, we not only want to do something back at this level, because this is, but we want to go further, because they never should have taken that first step. You know, it's become almost like a cultural meme, you know, story of the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, this great feud between these two families that's gone on for decades. And they ask one family member, well, what started it? I have no idea, but we're at war. Sometimes that can happen in our lives too. But even if we do have an idea, we do know what it is. There can be those things, and maybe we're not aggressive about it, but we can be kind of passive aggressive. Again, with the cold shoulder, with the turning away, with the avoidance, with the whatever. Refuse to escalate the situation. Especially in the area of revenge. We just talked about that. Paul says, God says through Paul in Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. God says he's got your back. If somebody has done something to hurt you, small, medium, or large, God is a God of justice, and he will take care of it eventually. And sometimes we can look at that and say, we just rejoice, like, yes, God, bring it on now. And I, the Bible doesn't say this, but I can just imagine God saying, I'll be glad to bring it on now as long as you don't mind me doing all the justice on you that you deserve. In fact, I heard a story one time, this is a true story, about a man who was really bothered because someone had taken advantage of him financially and had stolen a lot of money from him. And he was praying, God, oh Lord, just pour down on them your judgment and blah, 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 blah. And God says, are you willing for me to start judging you for the things that you've done right now? Because you see, God is a God of justice, but he's also a God of mercy. And that's the whole salvation message, that according to justice, we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve a relationship with God, but because of his mercy, Jesus paid the price. I can tell you that we can see a greater sign of maturity in our own lives when we can come to the place where someone has hurt us and someone has done something to bring about devastating consequences or not, so whatever, negative consequences, and we can honestly pray that God will work powerfully in their life, bring them to where they need to be, and show his mercy to them because they've responded to that mercy no matter how it might impact us, no matter how we might feel like we've gotten back what we're deserved, or no matter how we feel like the situation might work out. I challenge you. Maybe that's something that's like, oh, I've never done that before. It's not a new idea. Jesus tells us, pray for your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. I didn't think of it till just now, so I didn't put it in my notes. It's in Luke 6, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. You can find it. Google's good for stuff like that. Respond differently. Refuse to retaliate. No revenge. And watch your words. Words are so important. You don't have to say everything you think. Had a parent tell their kid that a lot at another church we were pastors at, because his kid loved to go around telling everybody that happened in his house. And his mom would say, you don't have to say everything you know. We do need to exercise some self-control. I'm sure it's never happened to you. Definitely not to me. But I've known some people have gotten in trouble because they couldn't keep their mouth shut, because they said the wrong thing at the wrong time. I know that's totally foreign to you. Maybe you know some people like that. Say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. We've all done that. We've all caused problems, gotten ourselves in trouble because we said something we shouldn't have, and it may have even been true. Maybe even been deserved. But it just caused things to get worse. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh answer stirs up anger. The next one is this. Handle differences wisely. Handle differences wisely. What I mean by this is you've got these differences, and maybe it's not even a discord right now, but you know that this other person feels, believes, whatever, totally different than you. Maybe you've had discussions before. Maybe it's been more than discussions. Maybe that's why there isn't peace. But when there are differences between you and somebody else, which is going to happen 100% of the time. That doesn't mean 100% of the time it leads to discord. It just means that we're all unique individuals. We all feel and think differently about a lot of stuff. But how do we handle those differences? That makes a big difference on whether we have peace or not. So handle differences wisely. We talked a little bit before about somebody who feels like they never do anything wrong. Sometimes there are people that feel like they're always right about what they believe. And therefore, anybody that disagrees with them has got to be wrong. I want to tell you something. I have learned over the years to not be so dogmatic about things. I mean, listen, I just know for sure. You know, I'm not talking about theology here or whatever. I'm talking about details, memories, facts, or whatever. I've gotten in the habit lately now saying, well, as far as I know and as best as I can remember, I'm not trying to ease out of something. I'm just trying to say I want to recognize that I might be wrong about this particular memory, about this one particular thing. Because there's been too many times I've taken a stance that I know this is it. I know this is true. I know, and then I found out I was wrong. Again, I'm not talking about theology. I'm not trying about waffling on things that are significant. I'm talking about the things that are sometimes so silly that cause people to get into disruptive situations because they're determined that they're right. Handle your differences wisely. Paul wrote in Romans 14, verses 17 to 19, for the kingdom of God, and was participating in God's kingdom, being part of his family, working to do what he wants us to do, following after Jesus, trying to do his will in our lives, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. What's it got to do with eating and drinking? That was a big controversial issue in their culture. Not whether you eat or drink, but what you eat and drink. Because there was food, meat in particular, that was offered to idols, and then after it had been offered to the idols, they could take it down to the marketplace and sell it. So they were able to do their worship, and then they were able to make some money. And there's this whole idea of, is it okay before God to buy meat in the marketplace that was offered to idols and eat that because it was offered to idols? And Paul's got a whole discussion on that. We're not going to dig deeply into it. But basically, Paul is recognizing that people came down in two different ways on this issue. Some thought it was always wrong. Some thought it didn't make any difference. Some were right in the middle. And he says, listen, that's not the significant thing here. The significant thing is you're allowing this argument over this situation to divide you. He says, it's not what the kingdom of God is all about. And the same thing is true with some of the things that divide us from other people, that cause these walls, that cause this brokenness. I'm not saying it's not significant. It's not something, but it's not something that should bring this brokenness. He says, it's not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking and these differences that we have about issues, but about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. One of the verses I read at the beginning. He says, in the context where there are disagreements about things that are not spelled out clearly in Scripture. Now, when there's things that are spelled out clearly in Scripture, we need to take a stand on those things. But we do it in love and tact and saying, you don't agree with this, but I see this in Scripture. This is what I believe. But I'm not going to fight you over it. I'm just stating the truth. But especially those areas where there's differences of opinion, where Scripture is not clear, these issues that happen between us as people. He says, don't let them stay there. Don't let them divide. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with when we disagree with somebody? I love this statement. We need to agree to disagree agreeably. I didn't make that up. You know, as much as I love my wife and she loves me and we're on the same page about most stuff, there's still stuff that we don't totally agree on. But we just agree to disagree agreeably. There's no major issues. That makes it a lot easier. But it's like, well, you feel that way about it. I feel that way about it. It's just the way it is. Okay? We agree to disagree agreeably. And I've had that discussion with people about even things in the Bible where things that are not real clear and say, well, you see it that way, I see it this way. You got Bible scholars on your side, I got Bible scholars on my side, you know. We study about it. But you know what? That's okay. We're still brothers in Christ. We're still a brother and sister in Christ. This is not going to divide us. We're just going to agree to disagree agreeably. Focus on what you have in common. Sometimes we focus so much on that one word that was said, that conversation, that act, that thing that happened, that we totally and completely forget about all the good things, all the good times, all the good episodes. Focus on other people over yourself. Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 2. And then focus on what is best for the unity of God's church. It's a place, I think it's in Colossians, I didn't look it up and write it down, where Paul uses the same terminology, the same principles about pursuing unity that he does about peace. And he says, guard the unity. I like that he says, he doesn't say pursue unity, he says guard it. It's already there. We have unity in Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price. It's there. We have to guard it against those things that's going to disrupt it. So as we wrap this up, I want to read from 1 Peter 3, verses 10 to 11. Peter says, whoever desires to love life and see good deeds, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. He says, listen, if you want to enjoy a good life, assumed here is a relationship with God and all that kind of stuff, you want to live a good life and you want to see good things happen, watch what you say. Okay? Definitely don't let evil, nasty, yucky stuff come out of there. Don't be deceitful and all that kind of stuff. Turn away from that which is not right. Turn away from evil, do what is good, and seek peace, and pursue it. So we're supposed to seek peace and pursue it. What's the difference? I don't think there is a difference. I think he's just making a point. He's repeating himself. He's putting it in different words. In case you didn't get the seek part, he says maybe you understand the pursuit part. Okay? Go after it. Go after it. Now, I mentioned this earlier, and I said we'll deal with it before we get to the end. We do have to recognize we can only do so much. But have we done the much that we can do? Because us being at peace with somebody else is not just up to us. It's also up to the other person. They can refuse to respond. And that can be very discouraging. You might come out of this service and after hearing this message and God speaking to your heart about a situation with a family member, especially as we're going into the holidays, we're going to be spending time with our families and all that kind of stuff. By the way, the traditional advice, and this is really good advice, is when you get together with your family, don't talk about politics or religion. Now talk about Jesus. Throw that in. There's a difference between Jesus and religion, but yeah. But the thing is we go into the holiday season, we'll be around people that we aren't normally around, but we've got some problems that are there. And you may say, you know what? God spoke to my heart. I'm going to really work hard at getting this thing settled. And you may do the best you can, and it still isn't settled. In fact, to be honest, sometimes it may even get worse. And we can use that as an excuse. I'm not going to do anything because I know if I try, it's just going to get worse. No, with the leading of the Holy Spirit and with God's help, we need to take the steps that we can take and leave the results up to God. And that is biblical because Paul says in Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Basically what he's saying is if there's ever a situation or a person in your life that you're not at peace with, don't let it because you didn't try. You did everything you could to the best of your ability to do what you could with God's help to set things at peace. Now we talk about peace with others, that brings up the idea of world peace, and we're not going to dig deeply into that. There will be no full world peace until Jesus comes back. One day Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will establish a permanent peace all over the world when his reign is established, and he will make things right. There are a couple things we can do, I'm just going to mention real quickly, is pray for our leaders. You know, we talk about that from time to time, 1 Timothy 2:1-4, Paul says, pray for the leaders. A lot of reasons for that, but he mentions very specifically so that hopefully things can be peaceful and you can live a normal life and share Jesus with other people. But not only that, the gospel is called the gospel of peace. One of the greatest ways to see peace grow in our world is to share about the Prince of Peace and the difference he can make in somebody's life. You know, this first Christmas, the hope and desire at that time was peace. The Jewish people were under the Roman Empire. They wanted nothing more than their Messiah to come and throw off their oppression and set up God's kingdom. And Jesus came as the Messiah, but he said, first, the sin problem's got to be taken care of. And even though he didn't throw off the oppressive Roman Empire, he died on the cross that their sins could be forgiven to make it possible for peace to be in their lives. And the same thing is true today. That same hope, that same desire that was there then and has existed all through history and exists today. We can have peace, but we can only have it through Jesus Christ. I'll wrap it up with this. The peace of God comes only from the God of peace. So as we finish today, I just want to encourage you. First of all, make sure you're at peace with God. Receive Christ as your Savior. Turn to Him. Make sure you're at peace with Him. Walk in obedience. Do those things. Take care of those issues that disrupt your peace on the inside. And be at peace with others. Actively pursue reconciliation with God's help. Let's all stand together. We had little technical problems with some of our instruments earlier, so we're just going to put on some soft music. And as we end the service today, we will do as we always do. I'm going to invite our elders and our prayer team staff, come please. And we're going to be here ready and available and willing to pray with you if you want someone to pray with you about anything, for yourself or somebody else. If you're here today and you need Jesus, we'd love to pray with you about that. If you've never committed your life to Christ, I would encourage and challenge you to do that today. If you know you're going to be facing a difficult situation, maybe through the holiday season with a family member, and you'd like us to pray with you about that, we'll be glad to do that. You don't have to reveal anything you don't want to reveal. You may be here today and there's somebody in this room and God's speaking to your heart and He says you need to go talk with them. You pray, is now the time, or is it, you know, does it need to be not a public, whatever. You got to seek the Holy Spirit. He will guide and He will lead you. But as we always do, I challenge and encourage you to not just leave after I've prayed immediately, but to spend some time talking to God. Say, God, how does this apply to my life? What do you want me to do about it? Maybe praying for that person who hurt you so badly, who's done whatever. God, how do you want me to handle this? I believe He can do a work. He can help you to have that first steps to peace where there hasn't been any as you respond to Him today. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. We thank You, Lord, that when sin had so disrupted this world in our own lives, that You had a plan to take care of that by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Thank You, Lord, that we've had that opportunity. And for many of us, we've taken that step and we've come to You and we've asked You to forgive us on the basis of what He's done. We put our faith in that. Now we're followers of Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. We have a relationship with You. God, cleanse us afresh and anew as we pray during communion. Help us to walk in the peace You make available to us every day. Help us to deal with those things that disrupt our peace, Lord God. We allow them to be there to get rid of them out of our lives. But Lord, today we pray especially, Lord God, for the relationships that we have. And Lord, we're all at different places with different people about different things. But Father, for those relationships where there is a problem that needs to be dealt with, and it's so easy to want to ignore it, to walk away from it, to say, it's in the past, I'm just not going to deal with it. Lord, I pray that we be responsive to Your Spirit. As You speak to us, as You've spoken to us through Your word, as You speak to us personally. And God, we fully recognize if we're going to do something, we need Your help. We need Your wisdom. We pray that You'd work in another person's life and heart and mind. Let there be a willingness and an openness to talk, to receive. Help us, Lord God, as we go into situations where we may be spending time with family and friends in the holidays. And in the past, that's been kind of difficult because of that person or that situation or that belief. Help us to approach that prayerfully, Lord God, that it might be just the opposite this holiday season. And God, during this holiday season, give us opportunity to tell people about Jesus. Father, we thank You that You will do that. Before I close my prayer, I just want to say, are you here today and you say, I need Jesus. I need a Savior. I don't have peace within. I realize now that even though I try to be a good person, it's because of sin. And today I want to come to God and say, God, I am a sinner and I ask you to forgive me because of what Jesus did. And I want to surrender my life to you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. Anybody at all? All right. If you're watching online and that's you, I challenge you and encourage you to do so. If you want to call me, I'll be glad to talk to you about it. So, Lord, again, we love you. In just a little bit, we'll be leaving this place. But I pray between now and then we'd have some good time talking with you, and that you would speak to us and you'd help us to do what needs to be done and make a decision that we're going to go forward. And Father, I just pray that you continue to bring unity and manifested love within this family, Marion Oaks Assembly of God. May it be expressed to one another, and Lord, may it be expressed to every single person you bring to us and every single person you take us to. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.